Before I actually share some thoughts and reflections, I would just like to, first of all, suggest if you take a look at the recording of the Mass from yesterday, to watch the introduction where Father Mike explained to us very beautifully and very painfully some of the circumstances we are faced with these days and why we have to celebrate such as we are celebrating today. The second thing is maybe a little bit of a confession. I'm a little, I don't know what the word is to use. Maybe it's nervous, I'm not sure. But I find maybe it's because of my age. I don't know about that either. But in the 30 years that I've been a priest, I've always enjoyed this day and to be able to celebrate and on many occasions to preach. But I'm finding it a little more difficulty today, not the celebrating part, but the preaching part. Because, for example, when we hear about the Holy Family and Mass and celebration and Jesus is born and Alleluia and all of the joy that goes with that, and when we hear the first reading from Sirach, we can, I think, respond to that one of two ways. Either with great joy and love, and therein grow in and increase the love, or maybe there could be some pain in a wound that it might touch as we hear about the family, the Holy Family, the joy, and all of the beautiful teaching from Sirach. And so I want to try to do my best in this homily to share with you a way to approach it that I think can help us all to appreciate where we are at the moment, be that good, bad, or indifferent, and to carry it forward with us into the future and to ultimately where the Lord is calling us as a church, as a family. And so we speak about the family of God. Imagine then for a moment that perhaps the Lord's speaking to each and every one of us, and he says to each of us, "Behold, I am doing something new. It is a vision of a renewed and anointed you, all, everyone joined together as my family, the family of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sisters and brothers of Jesus, and one another." We speak of the nuclear family. Father Mike spoke beautifully yesterday about the parish family. We have prayer groups that could be like a family for us. We may be members of various parts and aspects of Alpha, where that can be like a family situation for us. And then, of course, we have the family of mankind, the whole of the global family across the whole of all of creation. In the family of God, of course, we reflect on the Holy Family. Certainly a Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, but Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and us, we are all part of the family. We know today families, like many days, nothing so new about it. But again, when we hear the messages, it could either bring great joy and love or maybe touch a little bit of pain in our lives. If it increases the joy and the love, praise God. If not, then if it does touch a wound in us, we can look at that as the healing that the Lord has in store for us during this season, and especially during this Mass today as we share it with one another. Because although I think when we talk about family, we tend to look at it as we should and as is common, as the nuclear family, you know, mother, father, children, and so on and so forth, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. But families today, as has happened in many generations, could be that, or it could be something else. This something else, however, can also be a very joyful experience. And so I want to try to do my best to address the broader scope of the idea of family. Because however, believe it or not, each and every one of us, we are all family. If there's any difficulty in any of it and trying to relate to it today, consider again those days when we wake up in the morning, we look out at the window, and the wind is blowing, and the skies are dark, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and we tend to get a little bit discouraged because of the darkness and so on. But we remember that if we raise our minds and our thoughts into the cosmos above all of those clouds, there the sun is still shining. For us, in difficult moments, as we consider, and today, that's for the S-U-N when we look up at that sun. But when we consider the S-O-N, Jesus in our hearts, who is there always, regardless of what may be happening in the outer area of our lives. And in all of this, we certainly want to thank God for the whole idea and concept and beauty of the nuclear family and the sacrament of marriage, but all the other sacraments that go along with it as well. Dear sisters and brothers, you know, I do not see any of us really as parishioners. Certainly that is what we are. But rather, I see you as a sister. I see you as a brother, not in my head, but as a sister and brother in my heart. Because to me, that's where it is. That's where it's all about. I don't know if that's just because I'm 30 years older than when I was first ordained and stationed in the parish here 30 years ago, but there's something about it. There's something about family. Regardless of what our family situation may or may not be, there is something about family and the concept of it and the reality of it that touches all of our hearts. And yes, sometimes our wound as well. There was a song that was put out years ago, maybe somewhere in the 60s or so. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but I looked it up the other day on YouTube. The song is "We Are Family." It's a beautiful song. It's got a lot of pep and a lot of joy to it. It's sung by a group called Sisters Sledge. So if you want to take a look at it on YouTube, you might get a little bit of more of an idea from that as well. So I figured then at this point, let's take a look at where we are now, and to help that to be a bridge to bring us into where we are going. If we consider where we are now, I thought that the collect, the opening prayer today, sums it up very beautifully to help to bring us into the proper perspective when we consider family. And here it is. O God, who were pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of charity. So that's kind of where we are now at this moment. Let's see where this can take us. Because when we consider it goes in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of charity, and so in the joy of your house, delight one day in eternal rewards. These are the gifts the Lord has given and is giving us, and that's the reason for it, is to bring us through under the anointing and power and guidance of the Holy Spirit to that place from where we are in our lives, whatever it may be, again, good, bad, or indifferent, to where the Lord is calling us and ultimately to where he wants to bring us. And so maybe if together we could consider it more in a concept of perhaps a vision, but to look at the vast scope of family, to broaden our horizons, to broaden our vision and concept of what family means, maybe, and our understanding of family. And so to stretch open our hearts and our love. Indeed, as I was praying so much about this with great trepidation, because I didn't know how to approach what my thoughts and even my emotions and sentiments were at this point. And then I realized because I wanted to try in some way to bring it all together, because it's good, there's good in all of it for all of us. And there's good for pain in everybody in a lot of situations as well. However, the fact remains is that when we pray our Father. That means more to me today than it has ever meant to me in every second of my 81 years of being alive. Our Father. Certainly there are people in our lives who have hurt us. Certainly there are those that we can't stand. Certainly as we look across the whole of the globe, we see things going on where maybe we're even drawn to a little anger or hatred or resentment or a desire for revenge. That's all part of the brokenness of being a human family. However, the Lord can teach us how to deal with that in a way that brings healing to our heart. Not injustice. We don't acknowledge injustice. We don't condone it or accept it. But there are different ways that we can deal with it. And so the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they are presented to us as a model of family. And so we're called to imitate them, to imitate their sense of love. We imitate the Holy Family in practicing the virtue of family life, whether the nuclear family or as an individual in life generally, in all of our relationships, and in the virtues of family life, and in the bonds of charity, we imitate the Holy Family. It's a little bit like one time I was giving a talk in California about group and family, and a little insight came to me about how it's like if you go into a forest, what we see are these beautiful trees. There are some trees that are limping, some that have been burned, some that are dying. But we have, more generally speaking, these beautiful trees that sprout up into the heavens and to help us with the ozone and help to bring good air into our lungs and so on and so forth. But what we don't see is everything that's going on underground. Because underground, those roots of a tree, They're going out all over the land, connecting with all the other trees and branches and roots of plants that are growing in the forests and in the fields. To me, that's like family. We all have our own individual roots, but we are all together rooted in the family of God, together with our Father, our brother Jesus, and our friend and brother, the Holy Spirit. So, okay, where can we start then? How can we start to make and take this first step towards this journey of love and family that the Lord is calling us to? How do we live the vision if we're drawn to it at all? Well, I think that's where we turn to the second reading from Colossians. And I think some small parts of it bear repeating, and so here they are. Sisters and brothers, as God's chosen ones, that's who we are. We are God's chosen ones. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. Love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Love grows in that concept. Healing takes place in these thoughts and in these words being shared with us. And it goes on to say, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, our brother, Jesus Christ. The acclamation to the gospel, open our hearts, O God. Open our hearts to listen to the words of your Son. And I would add to that, and to be able to imitate the Holy Family. So again, from Colossians, we have this concept, the idea of to put on love. The Holy Family was holy because each member decided to put on love. What does that mean? It means that in that decision to put on love, they did that and to be able to sacrifice their own preferences and to give of themselves to one another. And so we are encouraged to clothe yourself in love. Put on love. Because, you know, ultimately in the end, as Paul says, there are in the end three things at last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because our Father, that's who and what God is. God is love. And so as we celebrate the Holy Family today, know that you grow in holiness through your vocation to family life, not in spite of it. God designed us to be part of a family, whether it be within a group, a parish, or a relationship, or as a spouse, a parent, or a child. That means there then, sisters and brothers, I think, for each of us, it means that we can become holy as we imitate the Holy Family in our own family, whatever that family is for each and every one of us, individually, personally, and collectively, and as the nuclear family. Even more, we are called to build a civilization of love. That's a call that comes from St. John Paul II, to come together in love to build a civilization of love. He said this in his letter to the families. It is a civilization that starts with that foundational building block of the family and reaches outward from there. It grows as each member gives themselves to God and then in love give themselves to other people. John Paul said this. He said that when we are faithful to our vocation, whatever our vocation may be, as a married person or as a single person, priest or religious, our witness of love affects everyone around us. I was considering also, you know, that for Father Mike and myself and the few of us who are gathered here today, we're not in this church alone. You are sisters and brothers, the whole family. We're all gathered here, certainly in our hearts, in our spirit, in our love, in our thinking, in our emotions. So our vision of love, it has power to create and to grow love. So I ask then, what is your vision of family? I'm still working on mine. I suppose I will be for the rest of my life. Hopefully that will be a long time. We'll see. But let's take time to reflect on how we as a family together and with our own families, how we can help all of us to grow in holiness, to grow in this concept of building a civilization of love, to think about how you can put on the virtue that St. Paul describes in today's second reading, the virtue of family life and in the bond of charity, and over them all, to put on love. And then from there, sisters and brothers, allow yourself to dream of how your decisions to love might help maybe just change civilization. We few here today are not alone. This is not an empty church. This church is full of life and memories that have been going on for years and years and years in our own particular case, but in the church it's been going on for centuries. And so I want to bring this together by offering words of encouragement and hope to understand the beauty of who each and every one of us is. Man, woman, child, whatever age we are, free, not free, male, female, to consider this. In the scriptures, especially in Ezekiel, we are told and reminded how you are God's chosen ones. Think about that. That's us here today, not just those centuries ago that we're being spoken to or about, but it's about us. In the same scriptures, there's a point where the Lord takes, you know, people are coming out of Israel, they're coming out of bondage and slavery, and he's bringing them eventually towards a land of promise, the land, you know, the promised land. And at one point, the Lord, through the prophet, explains to the people why he is now doing that. And he says, because you are precious and beautiful in my eyes. That's how God sees us, our Father. Not with the condemnation that we place on ourselves or banging ourselves over the head because we made a mistake. God sees us through the eyes of heaven, through the eyes of love. And says, before you were born, Before you were born, I already knew you. I already chose you. It wasn't just when I knit you in your mother's womb and you were born into the world. Because consider this. Now, I don't know how theologically sound this is. I'm not going to worry about that. But consider this. It seems to me that given with God, there is no past, present, or future, but that God is the eternal now. He said in the scriptures, I am who am. We don't have time to go into what that means. However, I believe that what that means for me is that there is never a time when you were not. There is never a time where you were not already in existence. Because God is God, always was, always is, always shall be. That has to mean that you have always been in God's being. Until that time, God decided to knit us within our parents' bodies and to bring us forth into the world. But there is never a time when we did not exist, because for God, there's no past, present, or future. God is the eternal now. To strengthen the reality of acknowledging and accepting who we are, I just want to finish it with just quickly a little bit from Ezekiel to help us to understand how important and powerful the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us in our lives. So we heard in the reading, the second reading, above all this, put on love. And I would add to that, above all this, put on love and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let go. Step out in faith. Take the leap of faith. So this is primarily from Ezekiel chapter 47, where the Lord is speaking to the prophet. In the Bible that I have here, it calls it the wonderful stream. So Ezekiel goes on and he's telling what happened to him in this vision that the Lord was giving him. He says, Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from the temple. And he made me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. It goes on and on from there. Then it comes to a point where he says, now it was knee deep, on and on. Now it was up to my waist, on and on. And there was now a river through which I could not wade. This is how much God's love and power and the Holy Spirit is present in us. How much with God there is always more. And that's some of what I hope we can grasp from this is that we are much more than we think or realize we are. Continuing then in this chapter 47, which is also referred to as a superabundance. Water means great blessing, a superabundance. It continues in part, wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live. And there shall be abundant fish, because wherever this water flows, the sea shall be made fresh. Abundance, 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 always abundance with God. It continues and says, along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. Water, grace, fire, power, blessing, anointing. To wrap it up then, in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, we are taught this. If anyone thirsts, let them come to me. Let them drink who believe in me, because scripture has it, from within that person, rivers, streams of living water shall flow. When it's talking about from within, it's from within, coming from the heart. Here, that passage continues and says, here he was referring to the Spirit, whom those that became to believe in him were to receive. From within the heart, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that we received in baptism, that Spirit will continue to bless and guide us. God's family, showing us the way, blessing us, anointing us, healing us, helping us, bringing us home into God's family. rivers, streams of living water shall flow, gushing up to the anointing, the power, the blessing, and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I would say, along with an expression that we heard in our parish, hallelujah, hallelujah, catch the wave, catch the flow of the Holy Spirit. Sisters and brothers, we are all family.